And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September the 14th, 2024. It is Season 18, Episode 31. Overall, Episode 783. I'm Scott. That's all. There is no, there's no RJ today. He is out of town this week. I see Matt in the Discord, but he is away. I see Steve in the Discord. He's also away. Oh, Spigot. He ought to jump back in every now and again. He's talked about it. He just says he's busy doing stuff whenever he does. So, or whenever the show's on, he's busy with things, so he can't make it. Anyway, welcome into the show, everybody. Going to try and do it by myself, which I've done before. And given this week's, you know, news, and honestly, it wasn't, I say it wasn't that big of news. It's not something that, like, you know, when it's Summer Games Fest or E3 or the Video Game Awards or anything like that. Even it was, what was the one in August that I'm forgetting about? But anyway, whenever they do these things, it's like, okay, let me go through the 2-hour video or the hour and a half video of all the different announcements and all the different things that were talked about and everything else. This is not the case. It was nothing like that. It was a 9-minute video talking about the PlayStation 5 Pro. And we're going to get into that. We're going to go over that. We're going to talk about specs of the system itself. We're going to talk about where that system kind of falls into a marketplace, who it's for, which is really the big question to not necessarily ask yourself, but to, you know, just to kind of get an idea of you know, where this sits, because we're going to go over the price. We're going to talk about all of that stuff coming up today on the show. It really was the dominating part of news for the week, but we'll get into the rest of it. Just going through this, you can go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv. You can find us there, and you can join the chat room live while we broadcast. There's something you can't see right now. And I said something. It's legitimately something that you can't see. It's over on this side of my screen. but I'm tempted to turn the camera that way and show it to you. I tell you what I'll do. I'll put it in Discord. How about that? I will upload this to Discord. So if you're a part of our Discord, you'll be able to see it. And you can be a part of our Discord by just going to our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way to the bottom. There'll be a Discord link there for you. You can click on that. Should get you in there. It absolutely should get you in there. I think it still works. And it should work. So I created the link to make sure that it works. So it should still work as well. Bama Bryan's in the chat room says the anniversary of the Atari 2600 coming out was a few days ago. Came out in 1977. I believe it was Thursday that was National Video Game Day, I believe. That was Thursday because Pong was released on that day. I don't know if that means Pong was released on arcades that day or Pong was released at home for home play that day or something. I'm not exactly sure which one it was. I didn't even know about it. It's not something I was, you know, marking off on the, how many days until video game day on the thing. It's that happens a lot in, like, you guys watching, listening on the chat rooms and everything else, folks that I talk to after the show, folks that I talk to before the show, folks that I talk to when I'm playing games, things like that. You guys know things. Everybody else just thinks I'm the gamer guy around here, which is fine. I don't mind that. It's just that every little piece of gaming news, hey, well, he'll know about it. And then it's like, no, I did not know about that. I was absolutely blindsided by that. I did not know that. So I don't necessarily claim to know everything, but it is nice that people think I know everything. That's basically the whole point of it. So anyway, that's how you can get in touch with us. I will sometime during a commercial break or something like that, I'll post what's over here and what's in front of me. I'll just show you the aftermath. But anyway, that'll be on the Discord channel there, so you can see it. So to go over what I have played this week, it's going to be Snap, but I also played some pinball. Last Sunday, I was able to play the tables from Pinball Effects, which is the video game pinball, on Steam. Actually, Pinball Effects is on everybody's system. They're on PlayStation, Xbox, Switch. It's on the Epic Games Store on PC. It's on the Steam Store on PC. So, yeah. Pinball Effects is like a free thing. You download that, and you have access to pinball tables. And I think like three come free when you download Pinball Effects. There's three tables you get, but there's a massive amount of tables that are in there. A lot of them are, and these are for people who, I haven't talked about pinball in a while. These are for people who haven't heard me talk about this pinball game. Most of the tables are made-up tables. However, and I played one today, there are recreations of classic tables. So mostly, I think, Williams and Bally tables in pinball. So there's that. The one that I played today was Mars Attacks. There's a fun table. They got a tournament going on now. So even though I don't own those tables, I can participate in the tournament or the event and play those tables that I don't own. So yeah, you have access to a lot of tables there. And I'm going to try and get those tables over time. But yeah, I played Princess Bride and Goat Simulator. thank you, AC Wraith, for leaving a comment for the algorithm. But yeah, I really appreciate it. And Bama Bryan, you caught part of the Princess Bride. Yeah, you know, I was surprised by the Prince. There was a couple of things that surprised me on the Princess Bride table. Number one, not as fun as I was hoping it would be, but then again, it's the Princess Bride. It's a great movie. Translating it to pinball is a little different. It's a little strange. To translate that sort of a thing into a pinball table. I suppose I could say that about almost anything, but that it's interesting to change it into a pinball. Like AC/DC, the band, they have a pinball table. How do you make a pinball table out of a band? Well, there's plenty of ways. Aerosmith has one. Metallica has one. Kiss has one. I think Guns N' Roses has one as well. There's a bunch of different bands who have pinball tables. Elton John had one at one point. There are pinball tables based on songs or albums or rock operas, as it were, with Tommy, which was based on pinball anyway. So, yeah, it's interesting that they took Princess Bride, and I didn't enjoy it. I'm not saying it's a bad table. I should put more time in with it, probably. But understand that I was coming off of Goat Simulator, which was the first one I played and absolutely loved. I am not familiar with the property. I don't play Goat Simulator. I know it's basically just this random mix of things in there. And you play as a goat, basically, that does all these different things. There's seemingly very little point to the game. But they made something out of the pinball table with it. And they made enough. A lot of pinball tables I judge by being able to hit the flipper and have something happen. If I launch the ball from my flipper and very little happens, and that outcome happens more than the other one where stuff does happen, it feels like a boring table. And that is where I found myself with Princess Bride. The board is very sparse. A lot of the ramps or the beginning of ramps or anything like that are way near the top of the table and on the sides, that sort of thing. Whereas Goat Simulator had you hit the flipper and that ball is going to hit something to give you points. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily the mark of a good table. But in my judging of how I was enjoying it, Goat Simulator won every time. Princess Bride just wasn't there. There were too many open spaces. I did enjoy the fact that it seems like they pulled the actual audio from the film. They had the rights to the audio, or they had access to the actual dialogue from the film, because that was going off left and right on that table. And I was wondering if it was going to be impersonators or something like that. It absolutely wasn't. It was the actual lines from the film read by the actors, that was, pulled directly from the film. So good on them for doing that. I enjoyed Goat Simulator a lot more. To emphasize that, I actually went through all the different things that you can do on that table to the point of beating it, seemingly. I got to the end boss, and then the table resets once you get through it. And I was able to do that. And that's up on our YouTube channel, so you can watch that. About 45 minutes of play for that one. And I played Princess Bride too. So yeah, enjoyed them both. Goat Simulator more than the others. I've been playing, what did I play today? A couple of their original tables. I can't remember what they were called in the tournament. Well, Castle Storm, I think, was one of them. Good table. Mars Attacks, like I said. Something called Hercules, which I had never seen before. And looks... it's a strange table. And I don't know if it's based off of a Williams or a Bally or a classic table, or if it was something they came up with. It was an interesting table, though. And then another one was like a Brothers Grimm type table. I don't really remember the name of it. Might have been one more. No, it was just those four. The other tournaments were based on... they were called flip tournaments. You get 200 flips. In other words, you can press the flippers 200 times, and then that's it. Once those 200 are done, the round ends, and whatever your score is, that's where it's going to place you in the tournament. So I'm not partial to those. Timed, I'll take. Only giving me a certain amount of flips, I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that one. I haven't tried one, so I should give it a go and just see how it goes. But yeah, haven't tried it yet. So yeah, it was that, and it was Marvel Snap. And AC Wraith says that the Hercules is an original. It's one of the first of the new generation. Although he says it's Pinball FX 3, so maybe it's not that new. But yeah. Like I said, it was neat, and I'll probably take a look at some of the others whenever I get around to it, waiting for those sales to come around to get more tables, waiting for them to send me codes, if that's the case, to get more tables. Which I did mention Pinball M to them. I was like, hey, keep me in mind for Pinball M as well. I'd like to play some of those tables. So we'll see about that. But yeah, I played some more Marvel Snap. I'm doing some more Marvel Snap now. They made some changes. I'm looking for some good decks. But I have not played much since I left the house this morning. Normally, I get in a couple of games when I'm here, but I did not have the ability to do that today. I kind of got a curveball thrown my way. And it's not RJ being out. I was absolutely prepared for that. We knew he was not going to be here. So anyway, let's see. We're not here. Did I play anything else? I don't think I did. I downloaded a couple of demos, but now I can't remember the names of them. However, I did something that I said I was going to do last week. Said I was going to put Burnout 3 on my Steam Deck. Brought my Steam Deck. I'm not about to open it up and turn it on, because I have it shut down and I have to turn it on, go through it. I'm not going to go through all that, but I did get Burnout 3 Takedown on my Steam Deck this morning before the show. It's one of those things that I started, and the further I got into it, the more determined I was to finish it. And I don't mean the game. I mean getting the thing to run on my Steam Deck, because I was doing all these different things. Like, well, I guess I got to do it this way or this way. It's been so long since I put other games on my Steam Deck, I'd kind of forgotten how it works. But I was able to get Burnout 3 Takedown on my Steam Deck, playable, and I've got Burnout Revenge at home that I'm probably going to put, again, on the Steam Deck, playable, and go that way with it as well. So looking forward to trying that out and giving that a go and enjoying it. And then maybe throw in some other favorite. I've got the framework down now as far as putting PS2 games on my Steam Deck. So now I can go through the library and be selective. I don't want every single PlayStation 2 game on my Steam Deck. I may get them and just hold off and then put the ones that I want, but yeah, so I just be selective about which ones I want, which ones I want to play. I kind of have to remind myself, was this on the PlayStation 2 or is that the PlayStation 1? Or am I thinking of a PlayStation 3 game? So I have to go back and look at those and just see what, you know, what triggers the nostalgia. What hits that thing like, oh, hey, I remember that game. I want to go back and play that. So, yeah, I'll look for stuff like that when I go over the list again. And it is a list, man. That's a lot. There is a lot to pick from. Not that I didn't think that there was ever a lot to pick from. It's just one of those things where you go back and you look at it and you're like, okay, we had a lot more to pick from than what I originally remember from the PS2 days. Did I play on a PS2? I did. Did I? Yeah. I missed a generation. PlayStation was the generation that I missed. I did get in on PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, and then so on and so forth. But I never had a PlayStation. I borrowed a PlayStation, but I never actually owned a PlayStation, which is why I also never played Final Fantasy VII, which I think was on PSX. So yeah, just another one. Maybe I don't have the framework yet for PlayStation games on my Steam Deck, but I do for PlayStation 2. And I'm sort of thinking, I'm wondering, and I'll have to look this up, and I think I can, about Xbox 360 games. If they're backwards compatible, I'm fine, because then I can play them just on my Xbox and I have no problem with that. But if they're not, which, by the way, Burnout 3 Takedown is not. Burnout Revenge might be. If it is, I'm good there. But looking back at the 360 games, some of those are not backwards compatible that maybe I can run on my Steam Deck. And it might be a lot of fun to do that. So, yeah. All right, let me look at some of the... I'm saving the PlayStation talk for later, but we've got the just some of the miscellaneous things. And I really wish RJ was here for this, but there was an exploit that was found in Balatro. And I doubt he's listening, but I will remember to tell him this. And I do remember this card. Oddly enough, there is a random... Well, it's not a random Joker. It's a Joker that is a part of Balatro. Balatro, of course, is the... poker game that you play where jokers have modifiers that make your points go nuts and all this other stuff. Very arcade poker that you're not actually betting money with or anything like that. It's just video game poker with really interesting modifiers. One of those jokers, I think, is called the multi-joker, and it just randomly selects the multiplier that you will have after it adds everything up, after it adds your hand. The card, whenever you're looking at it, just kind of, you know, changes the number to a 4, a 2, 0, 6, 10, 9. Sometimes it puts little symbols, negative 3. I don't know. Sometimes it's just little symbols and random letters or something like that. It's like it's a glitchy thing. Well, one of the things that it comes up is a code, and I have to go back and look at it, but it's like a 4-digit thing with the at symbol and then like a hashtag and then like a number and then a letter. Apparently, if you're able to see that, and it flashes by pretty quick, and by the way, you can look at this without actually having the card. If you have had the card, that means it's unlocked. So you can go into your inventory to see what you've collected so far, and that card will be there. You can look at that card, and it's going to tell you the same information. When it comes up with that hashtag, at symbol, everything else, the number and the letter is what the next card you're going to draw is. If you discard some cards, get rid of those in your hand and draw three or whatever, one of those cards, the first card you're going to draw, is whatever it says there. It was the people were getting the at symbol hashtag 4D. It's four diamonds. 4H, four hearts. QH, queen of hearts, king of hearts. It would tell you what it is. The developer has confirmed that, yeah, that's been in there since launch. He put it in there, and he buried it, and now it has just been discovered. That game released, I believe, in February. And here we are, September, and somebody's found something new about it. So I just thought that was interesting, and I wish RJ was here so that we could have talked about it. We definitely will when he comes back next week. We will talk about that. So there you go. Coming up, we are going to... we're going to jump into it now, maybe? I don't know. We've got Destiny stuff to talk about, even though I don't play Destiny anymore. And we also have some more, you know, little hits and misses with news here and the Annapurna stuff that happened just recently. So, yeah, all of that is ahead. Plus, PlayStation 5 Pro Talk is coming your way after this break here. As we go into the break, we've got music. It is our more recent selection of tracks this time. We did the classic tracks last week. We're doing the more recent tracks this week. Even though I say more recent, we're looking at, I think, May for the release of some of these games that you're going to hear from. So yeah, I let it build up, and I'll tell you that's mainly because sometimes it's hard to find recent music from games once I've caught up with myself. So I like that that is on a nice delay, and I do it every other week. This one comes from the Rogue Prince of Persia. It's basically Prince of Persia, but they did it, made it a roguelike. You go through it, you get one life, you die, you upgrade yourself, you go through it again. And hopefully you get further. You die, you upgrade yourself, you go through it again, and you get further. And it's one of those types of roguelikes that you have to work with. So yeah, that is the game that you're going to hear this music from. It is called The Corrupted, and we will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Nine Souls. Yi's theme, I think. I think, is the name. Nine Souls, it's actually on my wish list. After I saw a video about animation in games. Basically, well, I say animation in games. I basically mean game animations. I can't remember that video, but I remember taking a taking note of at least that one, and maybe some others that I added to my wish list. But the way they talked about Ori and the Blind Forest and the sequel to that one as well, they talked about, I don't know if Hi-Fi Rush was brought up, but Nine Souls was definitely brought up. Just the way they have this fluid animation, it's just really, really done well. And I liked what I saw of Nine Souls. So it's still a little, you know, I say it's still a little too high for my price point. And yet there's a sale right now on PlayStation games on PC. Specifically, I'm looking at, you know, Ghosts of Tsushima. RJ would be proud. but I'm also looking at, like, Days Gone. I'm looking at Horizon Zero Dawn, the sequel. What was another one there? Even the Sackboy's Big Adventure thing. That was also one that I was looking at. Returnal is another one that I was looking at. Some of the lower priced ones, although Ghost is up there. It's like $40. It's on sale, and I like that. And yet here is Nine Souls that's, I don't know, $19, $19.99. And I'm like, eh. Let it come down. I don't know. For me, I guess it's not... I guess it's just about paying full price. Not necessarily that does that price go with that game. Because that's honestly something you never really know. you never know. Does that price go for that game? Well, I don't know. I haven't played it. I don't know if it's going to hold up. Is it going to, am I going to get that much money's worth of enjoyment out of it? You kind of take a gamble on that. But if the game is discounted, depending on the discount, I don't feel as bad. Now, Ghosts, I know, is going to be great. I don't know about Days Gone, but it's like $10. And that feels like that's worth the gamble. You know, $10 for Days Gone. Horizon Zero Dawn, I played a little bit of on the PlayStation 4 and got to a really bad save point. I mean, and that was years ago, and I was really early into it. So playing it now, again, I would definitely start all over on PC. I think that's $12. I'm fine. That's absolutely. I know how big that game is, and you'd easily get $12 worth out of that game. I feel like with Ghost, I'd easily get $40 worth out of that game. Lower, you know, even more so as the price goes lower. But you look at a game like Nine Souls. I have no idea. I haven't played it. I don't know if $20 is the right price. But if it's discounted, I don't feel as bad about getting it and being disappointed with it. So I guess it's not a sense of, is the game worth it at that price? It's more of, is it on sale? Then let me take a look at it. That's when I want to take a look. And that's kind of why I add games to my wish list, especially with Steam, is because, and it's also why I subscribe to that Wario64 guy on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Because Steam lets you know when your games on your wish list go on sale, and they tell you for what the price is, and you can always open up Steam, take a look, and see what it is. And then just having Wario buy, that pops up, and you're like, oh, there's a bundle sale of such and such. Hey, that's something I've been interested in. Or just, what's the price? Let me look, see what's going on. So, yeah, I think kind of that's where I fall, is a sense of, am I paying full price? And if I'm not, I feel better about buying it. It puts it into my head as making that decision, unless something like Balatro, which I can't remember, was a $14.99. I absolutely got my money's worth out of that game. I still love that game. I haven't played much of it, but I still love that game, so... All right, let's jump into Destiny. There's a game. Now, if you want to talk about putting money into something and getting your money's worth, I really feel like I did, even though it all kind of crashed and burned on me. We're at a year now, I believe. What's today? The 14th? We're almost at a year. Let me check my Steam profile. That'll tell me. It tells me the last time I had a game ban or an infraction or whatever you want to call it. Go to profile. I will tell you right now. Yeah, okay. It's been, 371 days. So, yeah, we just crossed the year mark. It has now been a year since I have played Destiny 2. Forcibly, it has been a year since I have played Destiny 2. And I'm okay with that. It's fine. But there is news about Destiny 2. And we'll start with their player count average is now the lowest in the franchise's history. At least on Steam it is. Now, I don't know about on console or anything, but their average 30-day player count on Steam dropped to its lowest level in the series history. This was published on September the 8th. Going through it, despite launching episodes, the three-part self-contained seasons that kicked off in the final shape back in June, Steam charts suggest the game is averaging just 31,300 players over the last 30 days, the lowest number ever recorded since Destiny launched on Steam back in 2019. That is down 75% since June when the final shape launched. And they have, you know, statistics and everything like that. According to the Game Post, that's less than half the number of players Destiny 2 boasted 3 months after The Witch Queen and Lightfall, released in 2022 and 2023, respectively. Bungie recently issued a statement acknowledging concern over the future of its decade-old sci-fi franchise following recent changes at the studio. That's when they laid off a bunch of people. There was talk about, you know, Sony kind of stepping in and saying, all right, we're going to take over the reins here if you don't do better. So Bungie says it remains committed to Destiny, though the details of what's next remain thin on the ground. They have no idea, or at least they haven't released to us what's next as far as we know what's next coming for the game. They're going to have some expansions, and I say expansions, I'll get to that in just a moment. Exactly what they're called. They're like mini expansions, little tiny expansions that they're going to be doing more of those frequently rather than big ones. But I'll get to that in just a second. But as far as the next step, Destiny 3, Destiny 2.5, or whatever the case may be, what is next for either Destiny or Bungie is not known right now. We know they're working on Marathon, but that has been going not great for them with the layoffs and everything else that they're going through, the restructuring and all that stuff that's happening with them. The Marathon development is not going well either. So I don't know what's next in the pipeline for Destiny. Honestly, what I would have really liked them to do, and yeah, this goes kind of hand in hand with the fact that I can't play it anymore, is broaden the scope. And by that, I mean put out books, put out animated series, put out comics, put out, tell stories with your characters. The stories you're trying to tell in-game, tell those stories outside of the game. You've wrapped up the final shape, but I bet there's a ton. I mean, there's a massive amount of stories you could go back to. Destiny has a lore that feels like it rivals that of Greek myths, of Norse legend and things like that. Destiny has just this massive amount of material to pick from that has never really been depicted in the games. It's been told in the games. It's been talked about in the games. Characters reference things that have happened in the past. There are loads of written lore for not only weapons, but also armor, for different other accessories that your character can wear, other things your character comes in contact with. There's like backstory and backstory and backstory for days. And it puts together, and it, those of you that play or those of you that know, is that a lot of people do YouTube videos that go into all of this lore and legend and myth and everything else. But there's a ton of that stuff there that they can put in. They've released like 4 books of nothing but, I would say it's exposition, but I mean, it's kind of explanation of what the different factions of enemies are, the history of those factions of enemies, the history of us as humans and how this story took us from where we are to what this is and where it was or where it's going. And there's just a massive amount of lore that I think they could work with, and it doesn't have to be in the game. Specifically, I would like them to move into animation. This is pie-in-the-sky stuff of me, what I'm talking about here. But I would like them to tell those stories in a way. And I keep going back to seeing that secret level thing that was announced a couple weeks ago that's going to be coming up on Amazon in December, where it's an anthology series, but it's all related to video games. And basically, they just tell a quick story using characters from different video games set in their environment, set in their world, and it's just looks great. And I feel like Destiny could have really fit in there. They somehow Concord got in, and I don't begrudge that because I haven't played the game. I don't know anything about it, and I haven't seen this animation thing yet to tell you if it was worth being in there or not. I trust the dude working on it. Is it Tim Miller? I could be wrong. Again, not trusting my memory on this, but Concord's in it, and Concord is currently a dead game. Destiny, while I just reported the player count has dropped, not a dead game. So it'd be nice if they would have done something there, and maybe there's something planned in the future for that. I have no idea. But that's where I think, that's where I would like them to go. Partly because I can't play anymore, and partly because there's just enough there that they have, whoever wants to work with it, whoever wants to do it has, like, Olympic-sized swimming pool full of lore to work with. And detailed, fleshed-out lore. I mean, massive, 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 massive. So, anyway, having all said that, let's turn to their expansions and what's going on. They're going to be abandoning the big annual expansions and linear campaigns in favor of more frequent releases that are what they call mysterious, weird, and not afraid to try new things. That's a great idea. I'm actually down for that. I can't play it, but I'm actually down for it. The arrival of the 10th anniversary of Destiny. Destiny from the beginning was always talked about being a 10-year game, and that's what we were supposed to get. And here we are 10 years later. I survived 9 of those years. They're going to drop linear campaigns completely following the end of the final shape in favor of 2 medium-sized expansions per year, along with 4 major updates that will be free for all players. Those 4 major updates come seasonal. Previous Destiny 2 expansions were built around major campaigns that pushed the story forward in big ways, but they have told their story. Post-Final Shape expansions will forego that in favor of things like non-linear campaigns, exploration experiences similar to The Dreaming City, which was one of the more interesting places they've ever added into the game. It was interesting because when they added that was from, oh man, it's gonna bug me what that was from. It wasn't Witch Queen, or was it? No, it wasn't Witch Queen. I can't remember the expansion that the Dreaming City was added in. Forsaken. Bet it was Forsaken. That's the one it was for. I believe. It's the one where they killed off Cade 6. And so the Dreaming City was not on a map. There was this other place that you could visit and go to, and as you found secrets there, as you unlocked stories, you got pieces of things, and you'd read it, and it'd be kind of cryptic to figure out, but of course players, that's what they do, man. They figure those things out. And you'd have to do this certain thing. Once you did that, it opened up this door that allowed you to enter the Dreaming City, and then suddenly the Dreaming City's on your map. And there were so many secret things. There were invisible platforms that you could only see by drinking this inventory item that you would come across, I say randomly, but the more you played it, the more you came across a lot of them, and eventually you found a vendor that sold them. And so you would come across like these invisible platforms that you could see and stand on and move and move around. Then there were these portals that were popping up in different places that you could jump through if you were still, drinking that little tonic that lets you see invisible things. It was fantastic. It was massive. It was huge. You didn't know how far out things went. And the more you explored, the more you found all these little things. People were jumping all over the place and doing these weird little rock climbing things, trying to get to different areas. And it was working. People were discovering so many secrets. So I'm really glad they're going back to that, especially for fans. They're going to have even more unusual formats like roguelites and survival shooters. Those are different types of gameplay things they're going to implement into the game of Destiny, which I think is really great. Starting next year, instead of one big expansion, we're going to deliver 2 medium-sized expansions, 1 every 6 months, the game director said. Each of these will depart from the one-shot campaign structure that we've been essentially using unchanged since Shadowkeep. Each will be an opportunity to explore exciting new formats instead. I like that. Take those risks. Make those moves. What do you have to lose at this point? You've told your story. And if people have been playing that story for now, they're going to play whatever you throw at them. They really will. So throw everything you can at them. Keep what works. Throw out what doesn't. Or tweak it so that it does. It's a great way to go about things. And I hope those that are playing Destiny are still enjoying it. Bungie's commitment to great storytelling will remain intact. What was his name again? The game director, Tyson Green, said that going forward, we want to return the mystery and wonder that was woven into the fabric of early Destiny, when the story felt ripe with possibilities and an epic sense of exploration and discovery. Each update will be a substantial refresh of the core game, bringing new activities and reward content. We're also excited to announce that, like Destiny 2, these are Into the Light, these updates and their content will be free to all players. That's a potentially significant change, too. Currently, Destiny 2 episodes, which the major updates are replacing, are not free. The first of Destiny 2's biannual expansions, currently codenamed Apollo, is set to launch next summer, presumably not long after the conclusion of The Final Shape, and will be a non-linear, character-driven adventure. So good on them for doing that. And I hope it works well. There's been some hints as far as what they're going to get. Being that I'm not in the game anymore, I have no idea if it's exciting for players or if it's something that they're not looking forward to. I really don't know what the vibe is inside of Destiny right now. I don't talk to any of our clanmates about the game. I'm not in there. I don't, you know, there's no point in saying for them to tell me anything because I can't really play it. Although I would like to know what their thoughts are. Are they still enjoying it after the whole thing's been said and done? Do they feel as tied to the game as they were? I don't know. So, but it would be interesting to talk to them again. I just haven't asked the question. We still talk. I just haven't brought that up. I don't want to say that we're on some kind of, you know, we're button heads or anything. We're absolutely not. I just haven't talked to them and brought it up. We also have an article about the 10-year anniversary because there is an event for the 10-year anniversary of Destiny. This writer from Kotaku says that it's a bittersweet thing. Apparently, they're giving you armor now that was previously seen in concept art before the actual game released way back in 2014. And he just talks about the fact that he's picking up this armor and it's really nice to see this stuff. It reminds him of what he saw in the concept art of what Destiny was going to be and was looking forward to that, except when he got it, it didn't look like anything like that, or at least the armor sets didn't look anything like that. So that just seems to be a good thing going on there. There's a title to chase and stuff like that. It's good stuff. Bittersweet because, yeah, it's 10 years. It's a lot like what AstroBot is. Some people, AstroBot is a great console game on PlayStation 5. But a lot of people look at it as like a memorial to PlayStation. The things you come across reference games from the entire history of PlayStation, going back to PSX. And so it's a nostalgia trip for one. Some of it feels like an in memoriam for another, where you're just going back and being like, thanks for the memories of Spyro. Thanks for the memories of, you know, whatever other game. I think Crash Bandicoot's in there, although Crash is still around, but yeah. Yeah, Bama Brian, I think it's crazy that they never told you what the ban was regarding. Yeah, they never did. I think it's kind of crazy, too. If they would tell me, I probably still... It's not that I would still try and convince them otherwise. They look at it as, you know, that's a bannable offense. Whatever it is, I absolutely don't know what it is. But they look at it as a bannable offense and took me completely out of the game. But they wouldn't tell me why. So it's really strange, and I don't know why. My game record, which is still available online, where you can see my record of play, does not show exploitation, does not show cheating whatsoever, does not even show the potential of cheating, does not show that I was trying to cheat but failing at it, you know? If anything, it just shows that I am not the best multiplayer guy. I'm not. And so I can't figure what they would have detected. But I have resigned myself to either think that it was a program I use for work so that I can log into machines here at the station, and I actually had those running that day because I was monitoring things here going on at the radio station. The part about that I don't understand is that I use that for years and years and years and never anything. So I don't know why now, unless some policy changed for them. And then the other thing was that maybe I joined up with a group because I had been playing story content earlier that week, maybe even that morning, actually. And I joined up with a group of looking for group players through a different Discord and joined up with them. And if one of them was cheating and that got caught with a ban, then the entire fire team, which would have been me included, would have gotten caught in a ban. We were not talking to each other. This was a completely random group that I joined up with. We didn't use mics. We just joined up, did the run of whatever it was we were doing. I don't remember. And we were done. Got done. Said, hey, you know, chat it out. Thanks. Thumbs up. Whatever. Boom. Done. That's it. So That's it. I don't know. I do not know Batman Bryant. And it took them months. Like, I wrote them after it happened. I wrote them back. I think it was later that day. I wrote them back and asked. Never heard anything. October, mid-October, I think, rolls around. I believe it was mid-October. It may have been more November. And I wrote them again. And I said, hey, I didn't hear a response. I'm just checking in just to see if you can tell me what my ban was or if there's a way I can fix it or something like that. And then very sternly worded letter of like, nope, your ban is complete. It's banned. Don't mention this again. Further contact with us. they really burned the bridge, basically. They cut the line. Any further contact about this could result in a complete ban of all of our games, that sort of thing. It's like, all right, fine, I'll shut up. So, yeah, I don't know what it was for. I have no clue. I wish I did. But, oh, well, it's done and over with. So even if they did tell me, and even if they told me it was the program that I use for work and stuff, it's not that I would have a leg to stand on. I couldn't still tell them that, hey, this is something I've been using for years. If they said, no, well, it's triggering our... You know, it's triggering our exploitation system. And so there, you're banned. So that's it. Just doesn't work. Just doesn't work. We got to take a break. We're at the top of the hour here. When we come back, we're going to jump headlong into that PlayStation 5 Pro. The whole thing. Might take us the hour, might not, but we're going to jump into all of it and talk about it. So... that is coming up in the next hour. I'm going to leave you here with music from Paper Mario. Yeah, this is where we're at. Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, the remake they did for the Nintendo Switch, came out back in, I believe, May. And so we've got music from that game. It is the main theme from the Thousand Year Door game. That's what we've got. And that's what's coming up next, or that's what's coming up right here. And we'll be right back here on In Game Chat. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Just me this weekend, RJ out of town. He'll be back next week and join us in the studio here. So this week we got a announcement of the PlayStation 5 Pro. This had long been rumored that we were going to get a PlayStation 5 Pro. We didn't know when. We didn't know anything about kind of like what it's going to be, what it's going to do. What's it going to look like? You know, speculation all leading up to it. Leaks, hints, things like that. It was all around. And finally, we got the official announcement of it this week on Tuesday. We've talked in the past when we've talked about the Pro, at least in the speculation of the Pro, it was mostly about us talking about what's Sony going to do. for the holidays. Where is their lineup? What are the first party titles that we're going to be seeing games from Sony? And we got that response in the form of, I want to say it was an earnings call or one of those type of things where, you know, talking to investors and things like that. And Sony's like, we don't have anything. We don't have any first party releases scheduled for like the rest of the year. I think Astrobot was it. And Astrobot, it's a first party release, but I believe that may be all. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong on this, and you probably will, but there just wasn't any big releases set to arrive. From Sony this fall, nothing. No sequels, no new IP. I don't think any new IP. But yeah, there was nothing there. The speculation was, is what they're going to do is they're going to release a new console, not the PlayStation 6. Although we'll talk about that. But it's going to be a revision to the PlayStation 5, a lot like they did with the PlayStation 4. There was the PS4, and then there was the PS4 Pro. Now there's the PS5, and now the PS5 Pro. Figured that's what they're going to do. It'll be a little bit of an upgrade to the system, and, you can still play all your games on either system, but it'll take advantage of some of the better graphical qualities of the games. The way we rationalized that was release this in the fall, holiday season, whatever you want to call it, around that time, and put it out there in stores so people can buy it because Grand Theft Auto 6. Grand Theft Auto 6 is massive, will be massive. Say what you will about your own personal opinion of it, the thing is going to make money. Whether you're into the Grand Theft Auto stuff or not, this thing is going to make money. It's kind of like what we talked about Minecraft, the movie anyway. You care about that? Are you going to go watch that? Nope. But it's going to make a lot of money because it's just it's Minecraft. It's going to make a ton of money. Grand Theft Auto 6, it's going to sell a lot of games. And they're hoping, Sony is at least, that they're hoping it'll sell a lot of consoles. It's not because that's a first-party title. It is absolutely not a first-party title, but they have nothing else. So what they thought they would do is make a better system that could tout the fact that you can't play Grand Theft Auto 6 any better on any other system than you can on a PlayStation 5 Pro. If you want Grand Theft Auto 6 and all the bells and whistles that it's going to offer, which we don't even know what that is yet, but if you want what Grand Theft Auto 6 has to offer and you want to play it at the best whatever that you can play it as, here is the most powerful home console system that is on the market today, and this is how you should play it. The PlayStation 5 Pro. That's exactly their reasoning. They can tout that hey, if you GTA 6, we got that, and we got it better than anybody else does. That's it. That's the marketing. That's the strategy. I mean, they can say that almost about everything else, only for the fact that the PlayStation 5 Pro is currently, right now, or will be when it releases, the most powerful home console system that has been released so far. I'm excluding PC from this because we're going to get into the PC debate, but as a console, a video gaming console, it is the most powerful one you can buy. As well it should be, if you're going to tout being the most powerful system on the market as far as your home console is concerned, the price point better reflect that, is what I assume the marketing people are saying. Not the marketing people, but the top executives are saying. Because this thing is $700. And there's no disk drive. So we're going to get into that too. First off, let's go with everything that we learned about the PlayStation 5 Pro. This is an article from Kotaku, but you can find this on any video that is doing this. You can find this on any website that is talking about it. It's going to give you the entire thing. PlayStation 5 Pro launches November 7th of this year. Pre-orders start September the 26th. Little caveat about that. Those September the 26th pre-orders are only through Sony. If you want to pre-order the PlayStation 5 Pro on September the 26th, you've got to do it through Sony's website. I think it's PlayStation Direct or something like that is what it's called. That's where you can pre-order it. Pre-orders in like brick and mortar and online stores, those go live sometime in October. But September the 26th through Sony is how you can pre-order the system. How much does it cost? $700. And there's only one version, by the way. There's not different SKUs. There's not anything like that. There is absolutely one. And it is $700. PlayStation 5 Pro includes a 2 terabyte SSD. Previously, the PlayStation 5 had one. Well, this is a Pro. Well, then let's double the memory in there. You really should go even higher than that if we're really talking about space, but that's fine. I think 2 terabytes on an SSD, I think you might can go higher. But on the SSDs that they're using in these consoles, 2 may be the cap. 2 may be the cap if you want to sell it for $700. Going higher than that would probably also increase the price. So yeah, you got a controller that comes with it, a digital copy of Astro's Playroom, which, just to let you know, is not the same as Astrobot. Astrobot is a game that came out this month. Astro's Playroom was a pack-in for the PlayStation 5 and now the PlayStation 5 Pro. It does say a digital copy because there is no disk drive system. This is a completely digital machine. You can't put a CD in the thing. Can't put a DVD or a Blu-ray or a 4K or anything like that. You can't put anything into it. USB ports, sure, but there is no disk drive. So yeah, let's see. What else do we have? Yeah, there's a 9-minute video that you can watch. Mark Cerny, who is the lead architect of the PlayStation 5, talks about this system. Shows a lot of comparison shots between what's seemingly older games. There's no problem in that, as long as you can kind of prove your point. And the 9-minute video does not prove that point. There are other videos. I think Digital Foundry is who I really trust when it comes to this. Again, keep in mind that if you are watching this 9-minute video I'm talking about, it's a video that Sony put out. So understand that what you're watching is a commercial. It's a tech thing, but it's still a commercial. So yeah, there is that aspect. But Digital Foundry, I believe, went into it. CNET got some hands-on time with it as well. I think some other folks may have originally have gotten some hands-on time with it, but to trust them and what they say on it. But we're going to go over this. But again, this 9-minute video, it's not a lot of time for them to show comparisons. And it's very hard to show comparisons on YouTube. It's very hard to show graphic performance, just the way things really look through YouTube. YouTube compresses video. There's just, So yeah, not the best way to experience it. Digital Foundry does the best to show that off to you, but also explain what you're seeing and to kind of give you an idea of like, hey, we're showing you this. It's hard to tell on YouTube's video, but this is what it's doing. And they do a great explanation of all kinds of things. They really get into the weeds on the tech aspect of the system itself. So how powerful is it? They say it's the most powerful PlayStation console ever made, and it absolutely is. I also think it's probably the most powerful console that is on the market, right? Well, that will be on the market when it releases. It features 28% more RAM and a more powerful GPU with 67% more compute units. Sony says this will lead to 45% faster rendering in games. It's good. Those are good numbers. 28% more RAM is like, okay, it's going to help in some ways. 67% more compute units or whatever, that's a big jump. But you've got to break down the hell's a compute unit, right? And the 45% faster rendering, almost half. What new features does it add? The PlayStation 5 Pro will support PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution AI. The PSS is what they're calling it, or the PSSR, I believe. It's AI upscaling. Normally in AI, we're thinking, oh, that's bad. In AI, in situations like this, not terribly so. They have a pretty good control on what that AI is doing. It's not going to, AI is not going to render a shot of Kratos or somebody that looks really wrong or something like that. Don't. That's not the way that's going to work. It's basically Sony's spin on the FSR and the DLSS. AMD has FSR and NVIDIA has the DLSS, which is an upscaling piece of tech, but it's going to be exclusive to PlayStation 5. It should let you run games at higher frame rates without having to sacrifice high-end visual settings. It'll also include Wi-Fi 7. I know, right? another guy talking about this with a beard. By the way, did this, you know where this came from? Not because of a trend of dudes with beards. I was stuck in the hospital for God knows how long with gallbladder surgery, and I wasn't able to shave, and I just said, well, let's see what happens when I grow it out. And so I just kept it. It saved plenty of time when I don't have to shave. Aside from that, this is what happens when people chat or people say things in the chat room, and it drives me off the track. What they're trying to do with the PlayStation 5 Pro, and they talk about this in the video, is they're trying to go right now with PlayStation 5 and maybe with some of the PlayStation 4 games. With PlayStation 5, a lot of the games, you have two settings. You have a performance setting and you have a fidelity setting and stuff like that, where it goes, do you want to play this at the best resolution you can, the prettiest pictures, but a slower frame rate? Or do you want to play with not great quality pictures, still good, it's not bad, but you know, we'll take a hit in the graphic department only so that you can have your frames per second up to 60 or a smoother play, play time, whatever the case. So what they're trying to do is eliminate that, so that what you get is the best of both worlds. You get the really pretty picture, the really great resolution, and you also get the really high frame rate as well. It's one or the other, and what they're trying to do now is eliminate that so that it is just the one, so you can have both. No compromise. And that's fine if you want to do that. No problem. It's a good way to go about it. Let's see. They talk about the look. Is it digital only? Yeah, it is. It's only digital. There is, and there has been on the market for a while, a disk drive add-on that's about $80 because Sony released a regular PlayStation 5 that was digital only. You had two SKUs back in the day. It was PlayStation 5 with a disk drive, PlayStation 5 digital only. It was cheaper to get the digital only version, I think. Yeah. And when you got that, you could choose to pay $80 to add a disk drive to it if you wanted to. What this means, however, is that if you are on a PlayStation 5 or a PlayStation 4, and this has backwards compatibility, I believe, if you were on a PlayStation 5 and most of your, and it was a disc system and most of your games are disc based, well, you're not going to get those to carry over if you're upgrading to a PlayStation 5 Pro, unless you throw out, well, first you throw out the $700 for the machine itself, and then another $80 on top of it to buy the disc drive so that you can play those games you've already bought with your PlayStation 5 with a disc. That'll be interesting to see whenever this thing goes live. How many people went from a disc system to a discless system? Sometimes I wish the video games industry would pull the way election season does. Like, we get polls every day for elections. Like, every single day, here's a poll of this, here's a poll of this, here's a poll. You just poll. I really wish the video game, maybe not as frequent, but at least something so that we could see, here's people who had a PlayStation 5 with a disc system and traded it in to get a PlayStation 5 Pro with no disc, and have also decided not to buy the disc drive add-on that goes with it. I'd love to see numbers and stats like that. We'll never get it, but I would really love to see really good breakdowns of the percentage of people who upgraded or who are just buying this for the first time because they want the best or whatever the case may be. I'd really like to see that. By the way, the PlayStation 5 Pro does support 8K, even though there are no games currently that support 8K. It's coming, but right now that's not the case. There's a lot of games that have already been released that are going to get PlayStation 5 Pro upgrades. Last of Us Part 2, of course. They continue to just, here, play this again. Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, Spider-Man 2, Alan Wake 2, Assassin's Creed Shadows. These are non-first-party games here. Demon's Souls, Dragon's Dogma, Final Fantasy 7 in there as well. Gran Turismo 7, Hogwarts Legacy, The Crew, The First Ascendant, Horizon Forbidden West. Additionally, the company says 8,500 backward-compatible PS4 games will see performance boosts on PlayStation 5 Pro 2. Will there be PS5 Pro-only games? No mention of that in the video. Probably unlikely. The PS4 Pro never got exclusive games for the Pro, so it's unlikely that the 5 will get anything exclusive. More than likely, that what you're seeing for the 5 Pro will be, you know, games that run on both, but it's like, this runs better with a PlayStation 5 Pro, you know, a little sticker on the side or something like that. Does it support your current PlayStation 5 controllers and accessories? Yes, it does. It does not, by the way, come with a vertical stand thing that you can use to display the console vertically. If you bought a PlayStation 5 disc system, you got one of those. And you can also buy one if you want to. I don't know how particular you are about the way you place your consoles. I've never been one other than, does it fit? Then it sits. That's kind of where I stand with it. Does it fit that way? Nope. Well, let's make it fit a different way. And that's how it works for me. And most of that time, especially with the size of this thing, it's laying down. I don't stand it up. It gets in the way of, you know, I can't see. I have a big TV. And this thing would bug me with the way that it would interfere in front of the TV. So, yeah, it lays down. Anyway, that's a small little thing, the vertical stand. That's a very small thing about this. And then it's the other question on this article says, is this a PS6? And he's like, no, but it does make me very concerned about how much that will cost in a few years. If this one's running $700, how much is the PlayStation 6 going to run? I remember back in the year 2020, I think. I remember contemplating, and probably leading up to that, 2019 into 2020, we're talking about, like, what's this thing going to cost? What are these new Xbox Series X? What's that going to run us? PlayStation 5, what's that going to be? And, of course, we got prices for them. But, yeah. This $700 is massive. The PlayStation 3... The first PlayStation 3 released, wasn't that $600? $599? $600 for the PlayStation 3. The original OG big system. I forgot about that, because the PlayStation 4 was not that big. But the PlayStation 3 was a beef of a system. The launch system was. And I mean the original launch systems. With the memory card reader and everything else that the other systems dropped off when they revitalized them. That thing was a chonky boy. It was big. It's also expensive. They memed it. The $599 things that Ken Kutaragi was saying at the E3. It's $100. That was back in, God, where's RJ when I need him to Google a release date. I don't remember when the PlayStation 3 released, and I apologize. Coming to me off the top of my head, but that was $600 back then. That's going 10 years ago. At least 10 years ago. And it was $600. And this one's only $100 more. Think about that. Interesting. And that was touting Blu-ray at the time. So let's get into this. Let's talk about this a little bit. And let me see if I need to take a break. And it looks like I do. So that's what I'm going to do. When we come back, we're going to go over, we're going to do some comparisons here. Again, I'm going to be the dude with a beard talking about the game, just like, old dudes in with beards, by the way. Grumpin' Prol, I think is the name. It was blurry. So yeah, we're going to talk more about this, not just the specs of it, which we will. We'll do some comparisons with PC, and you might be surprised by some of it. Because a lot of times you're looking at these consoles and you're like, well, I can build a PC probably for around that price and play a whole lot of games. And then upgrade is like, you know, there's tons of things that we're going to get into with that. And we're going to talk about the market, the market for this as well. The reactions that people got. November 11th, by the way, AC Wraith says it was November 17th, 2006 when the PlayStation 3 released for $600. It's 2024, and it's a $700 machine. So, yeah. Anyway, that's all coming up. We've got music here from Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the game. It would be worth it just to have music from Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the film. But now we have the game. This is called The Darkest Carnival. It's written really weird, spelled different. But anyway, a lot of K's for carnival. And we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. Oddly enough, this is music from... We're in June now with our game releases. This is from Destiny 2, The Final Shape. The track is called A Gentle Kingdom. I've only heard kind of like the beginning, just like, okay, that sounds good, I'll throw it in. This is the first time we're really hearing it. That's some of the things I think that I miss. Moments. Like music, different parts of music, things like that, hitting in. Friends doing stuff, little events, things like that, just playing with everybody. I don't necessarily miss the game, I think I miss just playing with everybody. That was really it. When I talk about Destiny 2. So, I've thought about running it again because I have it on Epic Game Store, and I thought about just, all right, start something up because I can start something there and not link my account or whatever and get in and play. I'd have to create a brand new name and do the whole thing, start from scratch. I don't know if you could see the gears turning in my head of like, here's an idea. No, not going to do it. Oh, boy, I hope I find plenty of distractions to keep me from running with that idea, because I don't do it. Don't you do it. So let me see if I can find some more info about the pre-orders for this. You currently can't order if you see any ads. Keep in mind, when can I pre-order? You can do this pre-order. Sonic Space, Sony offer pre-orders as soon as it. How much? How will they be able to pre-order? Okay. At the moment, we only officially know that Sony will be selling them directly via their own website. The website is direct.playstation.com. Direct.playstation.com. As of September 10th, there isn't a PS5 pre-order page that is live on the site, but it might go up before September 26th. As for other places to get a PS5 Pro, we don't know. We don't know when that's going to be the case. But I do know that it's sometime in October. I remember, again, following Wario64, I was able to figure out that it's going to be sometime in October that your brick and mortars and your other places, like an Amazon, stuff like that, you'll be able to pre-order the PlayStation 5 Pro. A lot of people are going to be looking at GameStop because of the trade-in value. I don't think Target doesn't offer a trade-in value thing. Best Buy might. I know they do with your phones, and I think you can actually trade in other things for them. But yeah, the GameStop's probably what people are going to be looking at. And currently GameStop's running a promotion, I think, right now, where you can trade in your PlayStation 5 and get a certain amount, and your Xbox Series X and get a certain amount as well. And I think it's close to $400. And that is if you're like a pro member of GameStop or something, which is like a subscription fee to do whatever. It's like so and so a month, such and such a month as far as the amount. And you get extra, extra trade-in credit when you're doing that with one of the other systems or games and stuff. So, yeah, you can get it close to $400, which leaves you, getting a PS5 Pro for $300. It's a nice drop-off of that $700 price tag, but is that what you want to do? Going from a disc to a discless? Because if you do want the same experience, then there's other things you have to consider. You got to consider throwing in an $80 purchase on those disc drives, which, by the way, are very hard to find in stock anymore. These things, before this announcement, these things were everywhere. You could go on Amazon, you could go to GameStop, you go wherever they were selling them, and they were going to have them. After this announcement, not long after that video, and people started realizing that the only way that you can have a disc drive on your new PS5 Pro is by getting this thing, people were snatching them up. Either in preparation for a system they were going to have, or to unload sell back to you for a jacked up price. eBay had them going for like $400, which was ridiculous. And hopefully nobody did that. But yeah. Going over I've read two articles now about how to match this up with a PC. And have they both been from? No, they haven't. One was from PC Gamer. And the other one, I think, was from, maybe it tells me. Maybe it was Eurogamer, I think. No? Well, actually, maybe it was PC Gamer, I believe, that did another looking at it and what it could do. The article that I read about it, talking about the different graphics and everything else, what you could get, you can get a PC close to it. The interesting thing is that if you want a PC that has a graphics card that mirrors what the PlayStation 5 Pro is doing, that's going to take a chunk of your budget to get it there. Less than $700? Around it. But then you've got to add in things like your processor, your RAM, your power supply, your motherboard, tons of different things. More memory added into it, or storage space. So yeah, it's hard to compare in that regard. Cool thing about that, though, is that once you build a PC, you just change out parts here and there. You don't have to do a complete revamp. You don't have to trade in your PC to get the next PC. Although, the way graphics cards are going, you basically have to sell a completely built PC just to buy a graphics card. They are just massively priced. Which, again, makes you wonder what the PS6 and the Xbox Series Y, I don't know, whatever they're going to call it, the next Xbox is going to run with what they're trying to do. So, yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to say the equivalent, I guess, was what? A Radeon RX 7800 XT, I believe, which is close to what that is. But yeah, I'm not sure exactly. Yeah. Big GPU, fast ray tracing, AI-powered upscaling. It sounds a lot like what a PC can do. But yeah, because you've got AI stuff built into your graphics cards as well. As an overall gaming platform, a $500 PlayStation 5 versus a $500 gaming PC was always a bit of a non-starter. It's not enough money to build a decent entry-level rig, but $700? That's a little bit more plausible. And then they go through the different things, the GPU with a gaming PC and the PS5 Pro. In pure graphics rendering terms, you're going to struggle to fully match a PlayStation 5 Pro with a $700 PC. The PS5 Pro has a revised GPU, with 60 AMD compute units. That's the same number as a desktop AMD Radeon 7800 XT, which goes for $475 and upwards on its own. But you've got to add a case, memory, power supply, storage, motherboard, CPU, bare bones. That's, you got to add all that on top. It's going to cost you more than $700 if you're going to do that. But the 60 PS5 Pro compute units aren't directly comparable to 60 desktop AMD compute units. So there is a little bit of wiggle room there as far as like, are you getting the same thing on a PC or as you are on the PlayStation 5 Pro? 40% more power, by the way, doesn't mean 40% more performance. It might only translate into 10 or 15. Consoles tend to have lower overheads and make more efficient use of their hardware than what PCs do. The PS5 will probably be a little slower than a desktop that has the RX 7800 XT for traditional performance, but likely on par, or even a little quicker with ray tracing thrown into the mix. You also have to factor in comparative CPU performance and the core, the AMD Zen 2 cores on the PlayStation. See, that's the thing. They could update the GPU on the PlayStation 5, but they couldn't really update anything else. Otherwise, backwards compatibility was going to be shot. You can't update the processor, otherwise you're probably not going to be able to run these other games that have already been released for the system. And so that was going to be a problem. And the current CPU that is in that machine is kind of behind the times. Honestly, it was behind the times when they released the thing because of just how fast technology moves. So yeah, the PS5 Pro is mostly a graphics upgrade. It has the same 8 Zen 2 CPU cores as the original PS5, and it's also running at 3.5 gigahertz. That's how fast CPU processes. It's not really a bad thing, but if you're on a PC or going to build a PC, you're looking at things that are like 3 or 4 generations ahead. We're looking at Zen 5 right now. They're using Zen 2. We're in Zen 5. Clock speeds are even over 5 gigahertz as well. So you're going faster than what that offers as well. So you're not going to be building a brand new PC with a top spec 9,000 Ryzen chip in it with Zen 5 cores for $700. It's just not going to happen. But you might be building one with a Ryzen 7000 Zen 4 chip or an Intel 12th or 13th gen CPU. That's going to blow the PS5 Pro out of the water as far as the CPU stuff is concerned. But yeah, it's available to you. Then there's the storage aspect of it. Yeah, you can always go massive with storage in a PC. Then the price. Yeah. You're getting a pretty good price. At $700, you're getting a pretty good system. The problem is that you've already spent $500 on a system. Do you want to spend $700 on another system that only is really a graphical upgrade before the PlayStation 6 releases? I don't know. What? See, I've been looking into possibly upgrading my graphics card and my PC. I recently did a search on some of the NVIDIA stuff. I'm forgetting the name now. 4070. Yeah, the 4070 or the 4070 Ti, and I've been seeing prices on those, or at least last time I checked, I saw prices, and I thought, that's not as bad as I thought it was. It's still up there, but it wasn't as bad as what I remembered, or what I was telling myself, or what it was at launch. It had come down, it seems. And so I thought, you know, it's not too bad. That's something to kind of consider or look at. It's not happening anytime soon. But I was more surprised at what the price was than I was, you know, surprised as to how high it was. It was actually lower. So yeah, building a PC, if you can build it or you do pre-builds or something like that, you're probably not going to come close to a PlayStation 5 Pro in the graphics hardware with a pre-built that's close to $700. You're going to have to go way over that budget to make that happen. Which brings me to the market side of this thing. This is a $700 system. They got raked over the coals on Twitter with YouTube comments and all this other stuff about Sony releasing. I even was talking to somebody about it and said, no, the discless system? No, get out of here with that. I'm not paying $700 and I don't even get a disc drive in the thing. It's likely a machine that was not made for me. Probably a machine that may not be made for you. There's a term in free-to-play games, mobile games, games that offer cosmetics for money or things like that. There's a term for a certain type of consumer in those games who buys everything. Who, no matter what the value or the price or whatever you throw at them for something to buy, Marvel Snap has them as well. They're called whales. The company looks at those guys and says, those are whales. They will buy anything we put out. They work and make their money only to spend it on our game and whatever we throw out there. And every game has them. Every game has whales. And these whales spend money just constantly on these games, to get these items, to whatever. They don't necessarily go broke doing it. They just have that kind of income to where they can be whales with it. It's not like they're, you know, selling stuff out of their house to make that payment for that. No, they have the fun money, to be able to make those purchases, and that's what they do. There's speculation, there's a thinking that this is for basically whales. People who have the disposable income to buy this. Or people who are able to, you know, save up enough pretty quickly to buy something like this. And it's likely for them. Is it for me? No, it's not. If it had a disc drive, would it then be for me, you know, to kind of figure out, okay, what would it take for it to be to you? Well, $700 is a little much. If you could bring that down, that'd be better, but obviously they can't do that. For all the parts that they put in this thing, that's the price you're going to get, $700 for it. It's a pretty good price for what you get, but it's still a little up there for me and what I would like to spend on that. Even with a trade-in, $300 after trade-in on this is still not something I want to pay. Mainly because a lot of my games are disc-based games, and I still would like to play those on my console. So I got to add another $80 to that. So, you know, you're still looking at like a $400 system. $450 for this thing when it's all said and done to get my disc drive in there. The couple other reasons that it's not for me is I haven't turned on my PlayStation. I turn it on like once a month to download my games from PlayStation Store. I've got games there and there are games released and I would like to play them, but it's just not happening right now with me. Spider-Man 2 is waiting on me to play. Astrobot will eventually be there and I will play that as well. I've bought some other games that I just haven't played them. So that's all coming around. That's all going to happen, but it's just, yeah, for me, it's not there. It's just not something that I'm going to, it's not a good investment. But that's for me. Might not be for you. And that's fine. If it's something that you're not interested in or something that you don't have the money for, that's okay. If it's something you do have the money for and you want to get it and you've got that itch to have the latest, or you've got the money where you don't care and you want to just pick that up, sell your old one, get this one, you got the latest tech, whatever the case may be, that's fine too. But I really think the marketing is not necessary. The price point sits where it sits because of what's in it. The ability of what it does, that becomes your choice. How much do you play PlayStation games? How often do you sit there? If PlayStation is your only console and you have a bunch of games for it, well, ask yourself, are they disc or are they digital? If you're digital, that being digital only throws a different kind of wrench into that whole thing, because then it's like, yeah, all my games are going to carry over. But for somebody who didn't do that, that's somebody being me and probably a good bit of other people, you know, it adds an extra cost into this thing to run it. So, again, when I talk about them doing polling to find out, like, who is going to do this upgrade or who did the upgrade and who went with the disc or the non-disc or whatever the case may be, I really, really, really wish we could get that information. Maybe we can, but I'd be very interested to know how that's going to go and how the sales on this are going to go. And I'm also interested how this is going to go once it rolls around to Grand Theft Auto 6, once it rolls around to a major first-party title getting released on this system. I'm also curious how that's going to go. What we saw previous with the PlayStation 4 Pro and the PlayStation 4 was that neither one really took it over. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't where you waited long enough and it's like, well, now all you can get is the PS4 Pro. Not like that at all. Both consoles existed next to each other on the shelf. You could go either or with it. And the price for the PS4 Pro dropped significantly, probably within the first year. I was going to say 6 months, but I think even 6 months later, it was still at the price that it was, but it did start to drop. I remember a year later for Black Friday, the PS4 Pro had dropped in price for Black Friday deals, which, again, I need to remind you before we leave here, it is September the 14th. November is, you know, what, less than a month or just less than 2 months away, about a month and a half away. Not just November, but Black Friday is about 2 months away. And that's when you're going to see. That's why I'm kind of like, it was like, I could go get Astrobot right now and start playing it. But then I was like, nah, man, it's a single player game. It has no online mode that I'm aware of. That's not the strategy you take when a game releases in September, late August, September. That's not the strategy you take for a game like this. The strategy you take for a game like this is you wait for it to go on sale, because it inevitably will, most likely. A game released this far ahead is likely to see a discount come the holiday sales. And I think about that with Space Marine 2. I think about that with Astrobot as well. I think about that with pretty much all the games that are kind of coming out right now that I'm sort of interested in. I think about what they're going to be come the holiday sales. So keep that in mind when you're looking at games and consoles and everything else. The PlayStation 5 Pro, the release date on it, wherever I had it there, is not going to see a discount this year. So don't worry about that. But next year it might. And that may be the time to jump on it. What would it be? Probably $650. But if there's trade-in value, then do that. Do it and just drop the price. And so you can get closer and closer to it. You just got to figure out if that's for you or not. That's the only thing. Do you have the funds to spend for $700 for a machine? Do you like what it does? Were you already a PlayStation 5 player? If not, this is a great time to get in. It's a little pricey on it, but it also might drive down the price on PlayStation 5s. You also might see the secondhand market where people are trying to sell off their PlayStation 5 so that they can buy a PlayStation 5 Pro. Might be a good time to look at that if that's what you're looking to get into, or maybe something you're looking for the holidays to put something under the tree. There you go. Another aspect to it. A lot of ways to look at it, but if you looked at it and said, they must be crazy, there's somebody else that looked at it and said, when can I buy it? So that's what you got to think about. And it's the same way with the Minecraft movie. Just to tie that back in, you look at the Minecraft movie trailer and you're like, this, what were they thinking? And then there's a kid who looks at the Minecraft movie trailer and says, inject that into my veins now. I want it now. So yeah. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for us. I appreciate you guys joining me. Sans RJ, he will be back next week, and we will be back next week. So thank you so much for joining us. Check us out on iTunes. I don't know if I'm going to stream tomorrow. If I do, it'll be Snap. It might be some pinball. It might be, I don't know. I've got some games there to play, so I might do some streaming. There's some other things I got to take care of tomorrow as well, just throughout the day or whatever. So we'll see if I can get that done. But yeah, might stream. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, our YouTube channel. If you're on Steam, join us over there with the Steam group and, you know, all that great stuff. Our Discord as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. Music from Songs of Silence. This is the song that played during the trailer of this game. So I don't actually know if it comes from the game itself, but it ain't bad. We'll see you next Saturday.